ask Chris to come and share the word with us. What a revelation, what a blessing he is to me personally and in my life, and just the time we can spend. We're lucky enough, we've got flexible time to a little degree. So on Thursday mornings we spend an hour or sometimes 2 hours together and just chatting and learning from each other, being discipled and discipling, and then praying. And it's just a blessing of God, what God has done in his life the last couple of years. And I just want to honor him. I said to him, he's big on investment and how to invest, and he's really smart. If you want to ask a question about finances or property, you can even ask him that. But moreover, even more than that, I want to honor him this morning. And I said to him earlier, is that I want to honor him in the way in which he invests his life. It's not in preaching per se, but it's just in who he is. And I believe he's investing with an eternal focus. For that, I want to honor him, and may that multiply in the people's life who you're going to touch and who you're going to disciple. May they be kingdom focused, and may they invest their lives eternally. Because I believe you found that good pull, and you know what it's about. So I honor you for that. Chris, we'd love to hear from you. You guys can give him a hand.
I get it, Tiff. Sure. All these nice things. You think it's my birthday? Wow. Yeah, I almost don't even have to preach. I mean, this worship and this ministry time, I mean, this is what it's about. Eh? This is why we come to church, to experience the Lord, to tangibly feel Him. Not just to sing a couple of songs, hear someone talking, and then, you know, going home. But actually experiencing the Lord, getting closer to Him. And this is really my heart this morning, is for you guys to get again a new and a fresh perspective of our Lord, of our Savior, the one that died for us. We're so used to experiencing Him or associating Him in a certain way that sometimes He's just become this sort of this figurehead, and we almost don't really get to know Him. You almost need to walk around Him a little bit, sort of. See, wow, actually, I didn't notice that about you. Those that are married would find out with, you know, husbands and wives. In the beginning, you see one perspective, and then as you grow older together, you start seeing different perspectives. But one thing in common that you do have is you get to know that person a lot better, and that person rubs off on you, and you become more like them. And this is my heart for you guys this morning. Just a little disclaimer, as I was preparing this morning, quickly going through everything, I just felt the Lord said, near, cut and paste, so half the sermon went, and I truly believe it's from the Lord, because what happened this morning is actually, I understand it now, so I just want to praise the Lord, I just want to thank Him for, just for coming through. Right, have you got slides there, Francisco? Okay, I know the projector's not great, but hopefully you guys can pick that up. A name written that no one knew except it himself. Now, this is taken out from a scripture in Revelations, but we'll get to that later. What I want to get to this morning is, and I'm actually going to ask you guys, if you think of Jesus, what's the first thing that pops up in your mind? What's the first word? Yeah, love, life. Purity, salvation. Okay, so those are general terms, but think of another name for Jesus. What else have you heard people call Him, or what else would you associate Him with, a name for Him? Everlasting, beautiful, another one, Messiah. Okay, so that was generally the answer I was expecting. So yes, thank you, Lord, I can preach. You have words like the Advocate, or Ancient of Days, Anointed One, Blessed Son of God, Bread of Life, Bridegroom, Carpenter. You know, these are terms generally associated either from the Bible itself or from commentary about the Bible that people have given to Jesus. And let's face it, these names are beautiful names, and it's descriptive. But the perspective I want to give you guys today is a little bit different. I'm going to read you some other names. Captain of the host of the Lord, Captain of salvation, Author, finisher of our faith, Leader, Ruler, Governor, the deliverer, the Lion of Judah, shield, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Now these are a little bit more militant words, a little bit more heavy, a little bit more authoritative. And these aren't the ones we firstly would associate Christ with. But I'm going to be running through quite a few scriptures this morning, so guys, just bear with me. But I'm going to try and illustrate this side of Jesus. And this is where Jesus is at right now. We are so used to associating with him in his lily whites and his nicely groomed hair that the Renaissance masters have given us and the cathedrals. But I'm going to give you guys a different perspective as we go through these scriptures. So if we can hit the first slide there we go. Almighty warrior. Now this isn't generally sort of the first thing you'd say, Jesus, oh, almighty warrior. You know, it's not the first thing that comes to mind. But let's look at that scripture. And it's from Psalms 45, 3-5. Gird your sword on your side, you mighty one. Clothe yourself with splendor and majesty. In your majesty, ride forth victoriously in the cause of truth, humbly and justice. Let your right hand achieve awesome deeds. Let your sharp arrows pierce the hearts of the king's enemies. Let the nations fall beneath your feet. Okay, so what is all this about? This was written originally for King Solomon, for his wedding feast. And like a lot of the scriptures in Psalms, were almost like a prophetic window of our Lord Jesus' life on earth and the future life. So this is a little window into the future of what Jesus and what he is busy doing for us. So let's see what's happening. In our current day and age, we're sort of in a time of peace, if you guys can agree. You know, it's not, we don't have world wars and things going on. But there's a spiritual war raging, but it's not seen. So we practically in a false sense of peace. And what's happened, a lot of the church and a lot of people has fallen into stagnation and into just areas where they of lethargy, of, you know, where we're just not growing. You're not seeing progress. Now, in ancient Jewish customs, and Retief touched on this last week, where the men, they would not go to war for 1 year after they get married. And what I'm going to try and illustrate is, like Retief mentioned last week, where we're waiting for Christ to come and collect his bride, which is us. Now, we're in that stage when Jesus, this is my opinion, I believe when Jesus died on the cross, it was sort of the engagement. And now we're in this waiting, this time we're waiting for him. But he's still at war, he's fighting, he's preparing, he's battling through the way for us. And only once he comes back, then we're going to go into the time of rest, the time of millennial rest with our Christ. So at this stage, he's fighting, he's warring for us, for his bride. Now, what is this warring about? Let's just look at it. Jesus said to Pilate, this kingdom is not of this earth. And if we can go to the next slide there, there's three scriptures. You see Ephesians 6, verses 12. For your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers, against the dark world, against the spiritual forces in the evil and the heavenly realms. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Okay? For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrates even through a dividing soul, the spirit, the joint, the marrow, it judges through the attitudes of the heart. So we've got a few elements here. We've got a sword, and we see, what is the sword? The sword is the Word of God. This is quite important. We also see they associate the sword with being double-edged, which means there's no blunt edge. So when the Word of God pierces our hearts, or something that's not right in our lives, then it cuts straight through. And it's not a physical wound, it's a spiritual wound. And now the amazing thing is, what does it kill? It kills sin, kills iniquity, kills self-righteousness. This is what it kills. But the amazing thing is, only the Lord can heal those wounds. So when that sword pierces your heart, or pierces that area that needs to be sorted out, only the Lord can heal it, and he wants to heal it. That's his heart for us. Where should the sword be? according to the scripture, on your side. So it means it needs to be close. It needs to be with you. The next section there, they talk about an arrow. Now, an arrow is also a weapon. It's pretty old school. Most people don't get used to it anymore. But it's a powerful symbol. Now, arrow on itself is pretty useless without a bow. And a bow is pretty useless without the arm and the hand that guides it. So what is the Lord trying to show us with this? That we need Jesus. He is the power. He's the one that wields, that bends the bow. If any of you history buffs know who, what was his name actually? William the Conqueror. He was the first Normandy king of England. And he was an extremely strong, like a big bearish guy. And apparently he had this bow that only he could bend. No one else could bend that thing. This guy was so strong. But for me, this is a sort of a picture of our Lord Jesus, where he's got this bow and he's the only one that can bend it. And we the arrows, and he uses us. But also he shoots arrows at us if things aren't right in our lives. Now, to give you guys an example of that, if I want to shoot someone with an arrow, what is the way that I can stop a guy from doing that? I literally need to be, and for me, I'm the archer. If I'm right here, if I'm sort of holding onto him, then he can't shoot me. It's like impossible. So that's the same. We need to be with Jesus. We need to be close to him. It's when we wander off and we sort of like, you know, yeah and there, then deception creeps in and all sorts of other nonsense. And this is unfortunately when Jesus loves us so much that he needs to sort those things out in our hearts, because he wants us close. He wants us holding on to him. So let's go to the next slide. Another name, or another term that's given to Jesus, is the holder, the keys of death and hell. Now this is where, you know, guys don't like preaching about this, because it's a little bit grim, and it's not always a nice topic, but this is reality, guys. When Jesus died for us, he took upon our sins, he went into hell, and by force, he took the keys of hell and Hades. How powerful is that picture? Now, let's just look at a key quickly. What is keys used for? Let's just say in sort of in this aspect, a key is a sign of dominion, a sign of power. If I've got Albert's house keys and he's not there, I can practically go do whatever I want in his house. I can clean it out, I can fill it up, I can mess it up, I can do nothing. I've got dominion as long as I've got access to his house. Now that's the same with Jesus. He's got access to the key, or he owns the key of death and Hades. Now, other aspects of a key is, or actually, let's just go to the next slide. There's another scripture there. So I'm not making this up to you guys. You can see. In Philippians it says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of the God the Father. Wow, what a scripture. So there you guys see, I'm not making this up, it's in the Bible. He's got dominion of all areas. Now, let's just look at a key a little bit closer. What else is a key used for? A key is used to open up, to unlock. Jesus is the key to heaven. He's the only way for us to gain eternal life with him. What does a key do? It locks. Unfortunately, Jesus is going to lock the doors of hell. Those that are not with him, those that have not embraced him, those that have not walked this walk with him, that have turned their back against him, that is going to be in hell, is going to be locked in. You can't get out. This is the unfortunate truth, guys. But let's not fear. That song that Jan and the guys did, wow, that was just, I mean, that was prophetic. Yeah, that song in the guys were singing that, where we should not fear. There's no reason to fear. The amazing thing with us Christians is we've got a secret weapon. Anybody, what's the opposite of fear? Faith. Now, faith isn't exactly sort of a very worldly term, is it? You know, you don't get it like on the billboard and it's nowhere. You hear a lot about fear. Fear is a very popular term. The world would say, don't fear. So the word's always there. But what does God say? Have faith. And it's not exclusive to us Christians, but the Lord has given us, He's explained to us, how does faith work? We gain access to it. And through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and through our Lord, we, with faith, we eradicate fear. Hey guys, I mean, have you guys thought about that? We actually have the key to all fear in the world. You need to share this with the people that you know that are struggling with it. Now, let's just go to the next scripture. This is all good and well, and we think, great, Jesus got the key, He's done everything, we can just chill, just relax, you know, don't have to worry. We still have a little bit of work to do. And I really believe this scripture is, this is the key to, you know, world hunger, you know, world peace, economic prosperity, the works. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Imagine if every single person on this earth can submit to God, can say to the devil, "Futsak," and he will flee from you. There we go, problem solved. There we go. Klaar gepreek. Guys, it's that simple, but unfortunately, you know, there's a war. There's a war against the truth. Satan has infiltrated this world. He has brainwashed every aspect of it. But the Lord has come in and He's given us life. He's given us His word, His sword, so that we can pierce through these things, so we can show people the error, so that we can be with Him one day. Let's go to the next slide. Sorry, I know they're very small, so just... Right. Revelations 19:11. Now, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wow. Now, I don't know how many of you guys have actually read the Bible this far. This is quite close to the end. And once again, this was a prophetic vision given to the Apostle John, where the Lord showed him glimpses of the end. And just imagine for a little bit, he saw Jesus in his lily whites, a normal guy that was with us, walked powerfully on this earth. But all of a sudden, he saw this picture of Jesus, and just imagine, it must have been, I mean, this is quite a scary picture of our Lord. Now it can take months to dissect this piece of scripture, but I'm just going to run through it and pick out a few different things. So one of the first thing that jumps out is the white horse in the room. Jesus is on a white horse. Now, in ancient Roman times, when the generals or the emperors or the guys that were leading the armies, if they had a successful victory, if they had a successful battle, they would come back to Rome to give report to Caesar. And they would be on a white horse, and they would go through the streets of Rome, and the people would cheer them. And it was a symbol of honor. It was a symbol of victory. It was a symbol of the greatness and the power of the Roman Empire. Now, it's amazing that the Lord decided to reveal himself in that same manner, where firstly we see Jesus on a white horse. Now, this could mean one of two things. Either he just likes white horses, you know. Or, secondly, he actually knows what's going to happen. He knows that he's already won the battle. So he's riding into battle in his victory horse, which isn't generally done. But our Lord Jesus knows. He knows the future. He knows that he's already won. So he's cruising in with his battle horse, with his victory horse. And I mean, how amazing is that? We know we've already won the battle. The question is just, on which side are we? The next section, which is a little bit scary, is eyes were like flames of fire. So, I mean, this is quite freaky. I mean, I'm sure we've all watched a few dodgy movies where you see weird things happen, but imagine seeing Jesus with his eyes flaming with fire. Now, what does fire generally signify? It signifies purification. But also, if a fire had to go through a forest, what's left? Nothing. Nothing escapes. It consumes everything. So firstly, there's going to be no secrets. Nothing can hide in his gaze. So when he looks at us, he sees straight through everything. He sees straight through all the nonsense. Everything we try and hide, everything we think is, not that thing, don't see that. He sees straight through it. What else is there? Many crowns on his head. Now, it could be in numerous things, but let's just think of the areas. What does a crown mean? A crown means it's a king. It's a sign of authority. It's a sign of dominion. Crown of heaven. Crown of creation. Crown of providence. Crown of grace. Crown of the church. I mean, it can just carry on. So he wears those crowns to show that I'm in control. I have been given dominion. I have been placed in authority of these things. The section after that is, he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. Now, this is pretty grim stuff. I mean, imagine I'm standing here with the thing dripping with blood. I mean, that's pretty hectic. But it's his blood. It's his blood that he shed for us on the cross. It's his blood that washed our sins clean. It's his blood that conquered death and hell. It's his blood that gained us the victory. Now, if you look at the next section where it talks about and the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. So the first thing you think about, hey, why aren't these guys wearing bloody shirts? Because they didn't die for you. Jesus did. But just notice it says, and the armies in heaven, not the army in heaven. So all of a sudden you're like, wow, okay, well that's... It's not sort of not two armies, not three armies, it's the armies. And the great thing is we actually form part of that army. One day we are going to be fighting with the Lord. And even today we are fighting with him in a spiritual sense. As his children, we are with him. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation. Clothed in white linen. So it means we're clean. Because of Jesus, we're clean. The next thing you notice, they're also having white horses. How cool is that? We don't have brown horses or pink horses. We've got white horses just like Jesus. Now, Alexander the Great, he was known for a lot of things, but the one thing he was really known for was that he was one with his men. When the guys would go hungry, he wouldn't eat. If there wasn't water or guys were thirsty, he wouldn't drink. If there was tough terrain and the guys had to walk, he would walk with them. He would do everything with his men. They went to battle, he was in the front. And this is one of the things that made him, why they called him Alexander the Great. And this is such a powerful picture of our Lord Jesus. He's in front of this battle, he's leading the charge. But he's honored everybody behind him. Everybody's on white horses, everybody's on white men. How amazing is that? That he is with us in this fight. He's not chilling somewhere calling the shots. He's leading the charge. Then you see the next section. They talk about, once again, the sword pops up. And where is it coming from? It comes from his mouth. I mean, this is such a powerful picture. This is a bit freaky, a little bit sci-fi, guys. But yeah, just bear with me here. This is the scriptures. This sword coming out of his mouth. So now, what do we know? The sword is, you guys have been speaking, the word. The word is the truth. How many edges does this sword have? Two. It's double-edged. When that thing strikes you, that's it. It pierces. There's no blunt edge. We'll just go to the next slide quickly. In John 1, verses 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this is powerful stuff, guys. So the Word is, that's the ultimate weapon. You can go one slide forward. If you look at there, when it talks about the armies, it doesn't say what weapons they've got. These guys, they just got horses and cool white shirts, you know. And Jesus is in front with one sword, which is the Word. But like you've seen in the previous scripture, that the Word was there in the beginning. It was the forming foundation of everything. God's Word is enough. That's the thing that pierces. That's taken the victory. If we look further into the scripture, it talks about the rod of iron. I mean, this is crazy. So the Lord, he's going to take control of the world, of dominion, of everything. And then the scary part is, he himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. We don't like to imagine Jesus as being angry or being wrathful. But this is unfortunately how it is. Those that choose the path against him, if we choose not to believe in him, if we choose not to be a part of him, to allow him to be close to us, unfortunately, we're going to be in the wrong end of this fight. There's our young woman. And it's also picky. It's a spilling off the front. I just want to read to you guys a little section. It's from a... You can actually go to the next slide. From an amazing pastor that lived a long time ago, Charles Spurgeon. I'm sure some of you have read some of his books or heard of him. And I just want to read a section where he sort of summed up this section of scripture. And he says, the man of love, rejected and despised, fiercer than a lion on his prey, is love when once provoked. When love turns to jealousy, its fires are like coals of juniper that have a violent flame. Beware lest you continue to despise. Submit to this word of his mouth, lest you be smitten by his hand. Be wise when once his hand begins to smite you, lest you have to feel his foot. For it is all over then. May you and I each have a white horse with which to follow Christ. But we never shall, unless we are his followers here. We must put on the snow-white garments now, the righteousness of Christ will be given to anyone who accepts him and believes on him, in him. And when your snow-white garment are once on, he will give you the horse of a sacred strength, and you, even your following in the track of your gallant leader, shall ride shouting, victory, 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 through the blood of the Lamb. I just want everybody to close their eyes. Oh, Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for this time. Lord, thank you that we can go through these scriptures, Lord. Lord, and that even though it's difficult to consume, it's difficult to digest, thank you, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, this is you. You are our warrior king. You are fighting for us, a fierce battle. Lord, you are in your blood-stained, blood-dripping garment, Lord. Your eyes of fire. Lord, that sword coming out of your mouth, your word. Lord, your word is enough. Lord, your gospel is enough. It pierces anything, everything. Nothing can hide. Lord, you are on your victory horse. Lord Jesus, thank you that you've given us this opportunity to be behind you. Guys, we either on a white horse with a cool white shirt, behind Jesus, or we're under his feet, being pressed down like a wine press, locked away because of our own decisions. I just firstly, while all the eyes are closed, is there anybody that doesn't know Jesus, that if you had to die right now, you know for a fact you're not going to be on a white horse behind our Lord? You can change this right now. If there's anybody that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, that hasn't made him the conqueror, the king, the leader, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords of your life, your heart, I just want to give you this opportunity. No one's looking, all the eyes are closed. I just want to give you this opportunity. Raise your hand. Let's just all say this prayer together. Let's all say this nice and loud. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are there for me. Lord Jesus, I want to ask your forgiveness. Lord, forgive my sin. Pierce that sin with your sword, with your word, Lord Jesus. Forgive me. Thank you that you died on the cross for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that from today I can be your child. In Jesus' name. Just everybody keep their eyes closed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that today we know that we are with you. We are on that white horse with you, Lord Jesus. The road isn't always easy. There's things we need to sort out. There's things we need to look at. But this is the beginning of a new journey of not being under Jesus' feet, but being behind him, being in the victory team, being in the winning team. Just another request is for anybody that feel you being shot with a couple of arrows. There's a couple of things that, you know, that arrows hit you. I'm sure all of us have felt that somewhere in our Christian walk. It doesn't mean you in complete deception. It just means that the Lord is busy dealing with something. I just really feel that if you guys are in that place, please, there's going to be some of us in front here afterwards. Come and talk to us. Let us walk this road with you. Let us pray with you. So I'm just going to end us off now. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that it pierces everything. Nothing can hide. Lord Jesus, thank you that we can walk this road with victory, Lord, without fear, because we have faith. Lord, thank you that we can proclaim every morning victory, victory, victory. Lord Jesus, I pray for each and every person that's here and not here this morning, Lord, that we would keep our sword close. The sword wouldn't be in a brandplaats somewhere, but it wouldn't be tucked away somewhere, but it would be on our sides, it would be in our mouths, it would be in our hearts. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for this morning. Lord, bless each and every person. Just thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, in your precious name.
Lord, we are just come in agreement with Chris, Lord, and we just thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus, for a full revelation of who you are. Open up in this time our hearts and our minds for a full revelation through your word, through your Holy Spirit, through your body. Full revelation of Christ. We thank you for this morning. We receive those seeds. We thank you that it will heal the harvest. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Faith is this thing of faith is that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Thank you, Lord, as Christ has just illustrated through Scripture and spoken to us. Lord, I pray that for each and every heart there will be a vision of victory. There will be a vision now, an impartation of vision of victory. It might be that picture out of Scripture of Jesus on the white horse. It might be something else, Jesus' blood that washes you clean. But I pray for a faithful picture, a faithful rhema word to each and every heart here today, Lord, to each and every child here today. Thank you, Lord, that you come and stir and impart faith afresh. That we can hold fast to that hope. We can hold fast to that faith that Jesus brought us the victory. Open up our eyes that we can see. And live by that victory in Jesus' name. We thank you for that. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Chris. Thank you for